The Kite Runner, Disc 6.
I drove to Golden Gate Park and walked along Spreckles Lake on the northern edge of the park. It was a beautiful Sunday afternoon. The sun sparkled on the water where dozens of miniature boats sailed, propelled by a crisp San Francisco breeze. I sat on a park bench and watched a man toss a football to his son, telling him not to sidearm the ball, to throw over the shoulder. I glanced up and saw a pair of kites, red with long blue tails. They floated high above the trees on the west end of the park and over the windmills. I thought about a comment Rahim Khan had made just before we hung up. He made it in passing, almost as an afterthought. I closed my eyes and saw him at the other end of the scratchy long-distance line, and saw him with his lips slightly parted, head tilted to one side. And again, something in his bottomless black eyes hinted at an unspoken secret between us. Except now, I knew he knew. My suspicions had been right all those years. He knew about Osef, the kite, the money, the watch with the lightning bolt hands. He had always known. "Come, there's a way to be good again," Rahim Khan had said on the phone just before hanging up. He had said it in passing, almost as an afterthought. A way to be good again. When I came home, Soraya was on the phone with her mother. "Won't be long, Mother John. A week, maybe two. Yes, you and Padar can come stay with me." 2 years earlier, the general had broken his right hip. He had had one of his migraines again, and emerging from his room, bleary-eyed and dazed, he had tripped on a loose carpet edge. His scream had brought Khala Jamila running from the kitchen. "It sounded like a joru, a broomstick, snapping in half," she was always fond of saying, though the doctor had said it was unlikely she'd heard anything of the sort. The general's shattered hip and all of the ensuing complications, the pneumonia, blood poisoning, the protracted stay at the nursing home, ended Khala Jamila's long-running soliloquies about her own health and started new ones about the general's. She would tell anyone who'd listen that the doctors had told him his kidneys were failing. "But then they had never seen Afghan kidneys, had they?" she'd say proudly. What I remember most about the general's hospital stay is how Khala Jamila would wait until he fell asleep and then sing to him songs I remembered from Kabul, playing on Baba's scratchy old transistor radio. The general's frailty and time had softened things between him and Soraya, too. They took walks together and went to lunch on Saturdays, and sometimes the general sat in on some of her classes. He would sit in the back of the room, dressed in his shiny old gray suit, wooden cane across his lap, smiling. Sometimes he even took notes.